Hello, and welcome back to Path to Glory, the Warhammer Underworlds podcast that focuses on competitive gaming, player development, and community growth. This episode was made possible by our patrons, thanks to everyone who supports us. If you're interested in supporting the podcast monetarily, please check us out at patreon.com/pathtoglory. That's not possible. We still appreciate the listen and the ratings. This is Aman Khusro, and as always, I am joined by my undead co-host, Jonathan Davis.
Hello.
What's up, man?
Good. We're trying out video, and I feel like there's a lot of light in front of me. I kind of look a little undead, very pale.
Yeah, you could probably, you know, get out in the sun a little bit more.
Yeah. But
yeah. I've got a nice, healthy tan going, I think. Maybe some...
It's not quite tanning season outside, but it will be soon.
Wait till it gets to the summer. I tan very easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried last year, but didn't really work.
You just burnt, I remember.
A little bit.
Well, aside from tanning, today's episode, we will be covering the Crimson Court Warband. Warhammer Community dropped an article this morning.
Yeah.
Titled, "Here's How the Crimson Court Are Turning Enemies into Appetizers." And so our main course for the day is we'll be discussing the Fighters, Objective Gambits, upgrades for the Warband, the Crimson Court, and then, of course, the Universal Hunger cards that are associated with Direchasm. We feel like they've kind of had like a not a fair opportunity to be rated, so we'll be talking about them today because they're pretty much an additional pool for the Crimson Court. And then lastly, sharing our overall thoughts for the Warband. And so I guess we'll go ahead in classic fashion and start with Prince Duval. Prince Duval is the leader of the Warband, and he's a hunter. He looks pretty cool. I love the red armor on the miniature. He's a level 1 wizard, and he's got a weapon called the Possessed Blade. Range 1, 3 smash, 2 damage. He's got a base move of 4, so vampires are quick. That's cool. 1 block, which is fair, and 4 wounds, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's got some couple rules going on, so I think it's important right now to talk about... There are so many rules on this card.
Are these the most rules ever, maybe?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure, but I'm really digging it. The more, the better, in my opinion. So I think it's important to highlight Bloodthirst. So if this fighter has 3 or more hunger counters, he has Bloodthirst and cannot be on guard, which kind of makes sense. So essentially, if he's an angry boy and if he's hangry, hungry, both, then he cannot be on guard. But it says right here, his inspire condition. At the end of the action phase, this fighter has no hunger counter. So you're probably wondering, well, how does he gain hunger? Well, he has the ability called the curse. At the start of one round, give this fighter 1 hunger counter. All the vampires in this warband, all the fighters have this ability. So no matter what, at the beginning of the game, you will get 1 hunger counter, and if no other hunger counters are played or removed or received, they'll always end the game with 3.
Yeah.
Which is
very good. Very good.
Yeah. Super cool. Now, it says right here, the hunger, which is a reaction. So if this fighter, after this fighter's attack action, which takes an enemy, adjacent enemy fighter out of action, remove 1 or more hunger counters from this fighter. So that's kind of how you can inspire. So let's say you're a hungry guy, you kill somebody, you drain their blood, and then you can choose to spend at a minimum of 1 or more. And if you do, and until the end of the action phase, if you don't happen to have any hunger counters on this particular fighter, they do become inspired. Now, the cool thing about this warband is they've got pretty much like 3 different like fighter profiles, if you will. Mm-hmm. So we've got Prince Duval as himself. Now, if Prince Duval gets bloodthirsted, right, which means he has 3 or more hunger counters, then he loses 1 of his dice on his very accurate attack, 3 smash, 2 damage. And it goes down to 2 smash, but then it goes to 3 damage.
Yeah.
Seems like there's nothing getting in between him and a cheeseburger. So it's really cool. I really like the fact that, you know, just off the bat, if you accrue hunger, There's a cool ability. Now, if you happen to spend all your hunger and sate Prince Duval's bloodthirst, then he becomes inspired. So what happens when he becomes inspired? Well, he gains cleave, which is pretty cool. 3 smash, 2 damage with cleave. He stays at wizard level 1. He does gain additional block. And then he gains a spell. It's called Fiendish Lure. Spell reaction, 1 channel. Use this after this fighter's attack action. Takes the target out of action. If cast, choose one enemy fighter within 4 hexes of this fighter. Push the chosen fighter up to 2 hexes closer to this fighter. So a little bit of a control element there as well. Lots of stuff to talk about on just on the first fighter alone. Jonathan, what are your thoughts on this warband? Or this fighter, really?
Yeah, he's very interesting. He's a very solid, I would say, like melee beat stick of a fighter. Pretty classic for, like, pretty standard, I think, for leaders. Very accurate on with 3 smash. I like that a lot. I guess it's worth mentioning that all of the other fighters have the same special rules, except they each get something different when they get bloodthirsted. And they have, like, different inspired sides. So they all have bloodthirst and the same inspire and the hunger and the curse rules, which are pretty cool rules. The bloodthirst is interesting. In this case, what do you think? Do you think you want Prince Duval to be bloodthirsted? I guess you're not really mad about it. But I would say usually, like, +1 damage for +1 dice. That's a pretty even trade in my book. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and as we share more about this warband, I mean, we've taken our peaks and we've kind of digested them in our own way. It's funny we use digest in a hunger mechanic, but I think what we're going to see here is, like, so it depends. Do you want cleave and a reaction and 2 dodge or 2 block, or do you want to just, you know, get 3 damage? And I think personally, 3 damage is easier. And it's more useful. And 2 smash or 2 fear, 2 smash is pretty accurate attack action. Now, the interesting thing is, looking at the rest of their kit, we can probably make a deduction at the end of the episode on whether or not you want to go inspire, bloodthirst, or a combination of the two. Mm-hmm. But right now, if I had to pick, I think I like Prince Duval pretty bloodthirsty.
Okay. Yeah, I do think that the cleave isn't the, like, the best thing to get when you inspire. And then the Fiendish Lure reaction seems a little bit situational to me. I think there are going to be times when that is really useful, but it does require the kill. And then you have to have another fighter within 4 hexes. So, but it could be very powerful in some situations. Pushing 2 hexes is pretty good. It's hard to counter that with, like, a sidestep or something.
So. Well, not only that, it's because you have to cast a spell. You're a level 1 wizard. You have a 60% chance. we've all failed that one channel a lot.
Yeah.
So sometimes it feels like more than 40%.
Yeah, it's not really something that you can count on. I do like the 2 block a lot, though. So it's interesting. I think it gives you a lot of choices, and I think in some games you'll go one direction, and then in other games you might go another direction. But he's definitely a solid fighter.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty solid beat stick. I mean, he's super accurate off the bat. I mean, his attack action is a Sheox-inspired profile, so...
Yeah, and the Inspire condition is interesting because it seems like the main way that you'll have the option to Inspire is if you kill something and then you use the Hunger reaction. And then you don't Inspire right away, you Inspire at the end of the action phase.
Right.
So that's an interesting sort of mechanic. I suppose if you were trying to Inspire them, your opponent could theoretically try to counter you by giving you Hunger. I don't know how viable that'll be, but it's an interesting sort of way that it could work.
Something tells me you don't want to give these guys hunger.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think I like the counterplay ability, right? You know, as you mentioned, you know, maybe in the power step, I have a spender that I want to use right before the end of the action phase.
Yeah.
Where I can spend a bunch of hunger, inspire my fighter for the next round, and then, you know, maybe do some cool gambit or upgrade as well. So,
Because I think once you've given him some upgrades, the inspired side is actually pretty good. So if you have a bunch of damage upgrades, then that, you know, 3 smash and 2 block is pretty great. Early on, I'd say the 3 damage is better from the bloodthirst. So it's cool.
Yeah, I definitely can see him, you know, maybe inspiring at the end of the second round, and then third round, he's just some tanky dude doing some dirty things.
Sure. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, let's go to the next fighter, which is Gorath the Enforcer.
Yeah.
He's another cool guy. He's a wizard. He's a hunter. He's got a soulbound mace, range 2, 2 smash, 2 damage, 4 move, 1 block, 4 wounds. So very similar to his liege lord, but the 2 range, 2 smash, 2 damage is pretty nice. Now, if this fighter bloodthirst, then he loses a move, so he'll become 3 move, but he'll be 5 wounds, which is pretty nice. So
yeah,
the 2 range kind of makes up for that a little bit. And same way that the curse and the hunger work. And then if you manage to sate Gorath's hunger, then he can become inspired. And if he does, his damage goes to 3, which is gnarly. Range 2, 2 damage, 3. So he's pretty much Duke Crackmarrow. And he's got knockback 1, which is pretty nice. Nothing really changes on his bottom stat line. Again, he's got the lurking hunger rule. So if he has 3 or more hunger counters, he will uninspire. Immediately. And he's also got another spell. So he is the, I guess, second wizard. It's called Vile Transference. It's an action. So one channel, if cast, choose one friendly fighter within 4 hexes and one enemy fighter within 4 hexes. Remove one hunger or wound counter from one of those chosen fighters and give it to the other.
Yeah. Very interesting. What do you think about this one? Do you think, what do you think about his bloodthirst? I guess let's talk about that first.
So I love going to 5 wounds.
yeah.
I love that because, you know, obviously these guys are great at combat and they're pretty quick off the bat, or they're pretty average now. I think 4 move is the average in this game.
Yeah.
So you've got a fighter who might be a little slower, but it's kind of like that Bahanar effect where you might be slower than the rest of your team, but you've got that range to make up for it. And that 5 wounds is dirty, man, because the only thing you're really trading off is 3 damage or 5 wounds and the movement. I don't know if knockback is pretty relevant. The Vile Transference spell, I think, is really cool. The problem is it's an action.
Right.
So I don't, like, if you can kill a fighter from it, great. Again, you still have to, you know, cast a channel, roll a channel on one die. So you can't really guarantee it either. So the only reason I think you would really inspire is if you want 3 damage quickly. And I can see matchups and where you want to do that. And you face off against crushes, starting off with 3 damage is really nice. But more often than not, I think you're going to want to just tank up and swing your mace around.
Okay. Yeah, I think the Vile Transference spell, I'm not really sure when you would use it for on a hunger counter. So it seems like the main use case is kind of a niche situation when maybe that roll is a little bit more accurate than your attack action and you just need 1 damage to kill somebody. So that is interesting. I guess there could also be objectives for casting spells. So that could be something. But I agree. I don't think you mind the minus 1 move, because 3 move is decent. You know, particularly this is probably at the end of the first round or the beginning of the second round that you end up bloodthirsting. And so you're probably already in a solid spot. And that range 2 does help a lot. So it's cool. He seems like a solid enough fighter. You know, his range is nice. He kind of reminds me of Bahanar, like you said, or Galligan, although he's not quite as defensive as those two. So
yeah,
he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to him just smacking people away, man. It's gonna be cool. he looks fantastic. The next member of this vile foursome is Velas von Fein. She is a hunter. She's 4 wounds again, 4 move, 1 block, paired blades, 1 range, 2 smash, 2 damage. So pretty accurate warband from the most part. She's got bloodthirst. She's got the same inspire. She's got the curse. She's got the hunger. Now, if this fighter is bloodthirst, she has scything.
Oh boy.
So she can start spinning in circles, taking down some gits or ghouls. If you manage to inspire her, then she does not gain scything, but instead she gains cleave and ensnare. So pretty much your opponent, if this hits, they can only block on crits.
Yeah.
And she's always on guard, because it seems like she's some sort of duelist, right? So on guard and all that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think, dude, again, depending on the matchup, like if you're running into like objective warbands, then you just bloodthirst and you go ham.
Yeah.
But I think maybe this could be a great candidate for a fighter that you want a Voltron. you know, mm-hmm. maybe give her like a great strength and a sting of the Urgrub, and she's just munching through dudes.
And the cool thing is that you can do both. If you get her bloodthirsted in the first round and send her in, as long as the like last hit from her scything attack is what gets a kill, then you can use the hunger, and then she'll inspire in the third round, and then you can use the other side. So it's not like you know, it's not like you really have to pick. You can just only do one at a time. So it's pretty cool. I do think it seems like it'd be hard to uninspire once you've inspired. But I think you should be able to bloodthirst up, get a kill, and then inspire if you want to. So that's pretty cool. And yeah. Scything on a 2 smash attack is kind of scary.
It's very good. And to your point about, like, you know, maybe uninspiring, I think you can do it if you just start spending cards, like gain 3 hunger or whatever. And we'll see some universals in a second where it'll be like gain a hunger counter, you know, sidestep, things like that.
Right.
So there's a lot of tools that they can use if you really want to lean into that bloodthirst strategy, which I think is pretty neat.
Yeah, I just think it's something you have to do on purpose. So it'll just depend on the situation. But
yeah,
this is like the first warband that I think can uninspire, and it's maybe the first warband that can choose whether or not to inspire. So that whole concept is kind of interesting.
I mean, I love it, and you know, you can get energy drained, for example, right? Gain a hunger counter, things like that. So.
Yeah.
Your opponent can definitely counterplay, but yeah, she's cool. She's cool. Next fighter, last fighter, Ennius Curseborn. He looks like the lunatic of the group, which I'm loving. So similar stat profile, except instead of a block, he's got a dodge. So 4 move, 1 dodge, 4 wounds. It's because he's got wings, so I guess he's like the fast one that runs around. He is a hunter. Range 1, 3 fury, 2 smash. So I think he's the most accurate out of all 3, except from Prince Duval off the bat with that 51% chance to hit on 3 fury.
A little bit more accurate.
Yeah. And I think it's like 1%.
Yeah.
And he's got the same bloodthirst, hunger, curse, inspire conditions. If this fighter is bloodthirst, he is 6 move plus 2 move to this fighter, which is insane.
Yeah, that's good.
Very good. You want to score cover ground or winged death, he's your guy. If you end up inspiring, he becomes more very accurate with 1 range, 3 smash, 2 damage. He gains an extra defense on a die on defense, so he's 2 dodge. And says right here, when this fighter makes a move action, he can move through blocked and occupied hexes and cannot be dealt damage by lethal hexes. He must end his move action in an empty hex. So he avoids lethal hexes when he's inspired, but when he's uninspired, they still hurt.
I guess he's using those wings either way, but he's a little bit more careful when he's inspired.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I think, the first one where I think this is the guy I definitely want to inspire. Because I don't think the 2 move is that good, given a lot of the other ways to get 2 move we have in the game right now. I think there might be situations when you just don't have a Spectral Wings and you need to score cover ground. But I like that 3 smash quite a bit. And being able to move through stuff a lot of the time can be similar to having more movement. You know what I mean? You're going to be able to go through guys. So, but he's not bad either way. So, and that's kind of the theme here.
I am of the mind that you bloodthirst him.
Okay.
3 Fury is still really pretty accurate. You're crit fishing, but it's still pretty solid. And, I just think that movement and that range is nice. I mean, the 2 dodge, of course, is very nice. Absolutely. Yeah. But
I like the 2 dodge a lot too.
Yeah. So powerful fighters, what are your overall thoughts on the warband and their fighter card mechanics?
So I think they seem very powerful. If you compare these to some of the other warbands that we've seen recently, I think we've talked about how there's a lot of 4 fighter warbands. We can also compare them to some of the previous 4 fighter warbands. They have some great stats, I think. If you compare it to Begor's Fiends, 4 wounds, I'd say slightly worse stats off the bat, I guess. 1 dodge and on somebody, and it's a little bit harder to get to 3 damage on as many fighters. I would say the 4 move, you know, is kind of a wash versus the 3 move and the Riptooth extra movement. So, well, I guess this is better because Riptooth starts at 4. So I would say they're like off the bat, they can just brawl if they want to, which is pretty cool. Two wizards is really interesting. For one, it means like you can take things like pages and have a backup, which most other warbands don't. And you probably don't want to go too heavy into spells because they're not that great at casting them. But you can take wizard-only upgrades, like ER's Instant Shield is really cool. And there's just some other cards like that that it's nice to have that option. Which I think is like maybe the theme here is they can kind of do anything, I think. They obviously can do Hunger in a way that no one else can so far. And they're all Hunters too, so they can do all the Hunter stuff. There's not really anything they can't do here. Like they're just stacked, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I kind of agree with all that. You know, they can hold objectives if they want. They can play the Dominant Position, Hidden Purpose game. They can become aggressive. They can score for being in enemy territory and being Hunters. They can tap into Hunter, obviously Primacy and Hunger. And then, of course, there is a card in their upgrade set that can help them become great wizards as well. So Magic is pretty open because they have two wizards. I think it's the first warband other than Curse Breakers with two wizards.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So very cool. Pretty cool stuff. I'm a fan. I'm liking it so far. Let's see if the cards live up to the hype. Do you want to go ahead and start with the faction objectives?
Yeah, so the first faction objective is Blood Curse. It is a hybrid for 3 glory. Score this in the third end phase if surviving friendly fighters have 10 or more hunger counters, or there is only one surviving enemy fighter.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interestingly, it's not one or less. It's exactly one.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of like this one a lot. If you're going hunger, right? If you plan on spamming hunger, like chunking a bunch of hunger on your fighters and just being greedy with the cards and, you know, potentially be willing to take punishment for having so much hunger, because I think there are cards that can interact with hunger negatively against you. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, this is great because, you know, if you have like 2 or 3 fighters left at the end of the game, you know, let's say you lose 2, I think it's fairly possible to get to 10 on 2 fighters. Maybe 1 is hard. 3 seems a lot easier. And then one thing that when you're playing aggro, there's a reason why we don't take Annihilation, right? Because there's always one fighter that your enemy can like soup up and like protect. And so this is another win condition where it's like, well, okay, I wasn't able to wipe the enemy warband, and you know, maybe I'm a couple hunger short, but hey, there's one fighter left. So you can play for both of these in the beginning. I really think if you're going to incorporate this card, you have to probably are trying to score the hunger condition, and then you know the second condition is the backup condition because you were unable to successfully get to that 10 hunger counter number.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this card would belong in a slightly more passive hunger stacking deck, because I would say that once you lose 2 fighters, this starts to become questionable whether or not you're going to score it. Getting to 10, I think, could be a little bit difficult. If you lose 3, you're probably not going to score it. You also would have to build a deck that doesn't spend the hunger. You would mainly want to be gaining it. So that's interesting. I think it's possibly worth considering. I don't think I would put it. It wouldn't be the first thing I put in a deck. It would be something you have to build around. So I guess I'll go to the next one. It is Courtly Hunt. It is a 1 glory surge. Score this immediately after the first fighter is taken out of action in this round, if that fighter is an enemy fighter. So basically, it's strong start.
Yes, it essentially is. I think strong start was a good card for the time, and depending on if you're aggro or not and you're struggling for surges, I think it was a great option. Unfortunately, in this meta, I think there are a lot of great surge cards right now from Beastgrave and Direchasm. So unless you're like going full aggro, I wouldn't really consider it. And even then, I think a card like Pitiable Death is better, personally. You do have 4 wounds on each fighter, so the likelihood of dying is low. But at the same time, a lot of the other popular warbands right now have, you know, fighters who have 3 and 4 wounds. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a bad card by any means. It's pretty good in the first round. Like you said, they all have 4 wounds, but I think it does have trouble competing with the current selection. So the next one is Crimson Hounds. It's a surge for one glory. Score this immediately after an activation in which a friendly fighter made an attack action that targeted an enemy fighter adjacent to one or more other friendly fighters. What do you think about that?
So I kind of like this one. I think it does require a little bit of setup, but it's all this whole concept where, like, charge with one fighter, they miss. You know, maybe that fighter swings back, or they're like, oh, whatever, I'll just use another fighter. And then you charge with your second fighter. You may miss again, but the idea is that, you know, the whole idea is you're ganging up on this prey. Miari is getting wrecked in that photo, and and the card art, at least. And so it's interesting. Again, I think there are some great surges that exist outside of the faction set here. But even if you were to just run this, I don't think it's a bad card. I just don't think it's like, oh, my God, this is amazing either.
Yeah, I agree. A little bit situational. If somebody charges you and misses, then it's pretty good. But otherwise, you might have to spend a push card or something. So it's okay. The next one is Death's Domain. Score this in an end phase if your warband holds all objectives in one or more players' territories for two glory. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so remember, mentioned we earlier that they can kind of do everything, right? So
yeah,
this is another great card because you can, jump on an objective, maybe, you know, try to play the dominant position game. And you can kind of do that in your own zone. Keep in mind that, you know, you probably want two or less objective tokens in your territory, unless you're maybe playing Feed the Beast Grave with them, which is probably the one thing they can't do.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So I think this is kind of a trap card, right? Because, like, for Guardians, it was good. Eltharion's Guardians. But then for Wild Hunt, it wasn't good. And so depending on how you want these guys to function, I think these guys lean more towards Wild Hunt than they do Eltharion's Guardians. Ripples have the same card, and they don't play it either. So I think it's functionally can be pretty powerful in the right passive deck, which, you know, irks me to say that out loud. But I personally think that if most people will play this warband bloodthirsty and aggressively, and I don't think Death's Domain is something that you're going to want to consider unless you're trying to score treasure hunters as well by being in enemy territory. So,
yeah, I think you're right. I think it's cool when warbands have this card because it's like always in the back of your opponent's head of like, is that what they're trying to do?
Yeah.
And they're not that great at it, but they're not terrible at it either. I guess that's the thing, is if the opponent doesn't think you have it, then it actually becomes better because you can put one objective in your territory and one in like no man's territory, and then they have the other ones. And then it might just be a free two glory in that first game. So, but it, you know, it does lose value in best of three. So something to think about, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is a two glory hybrid called Gravelords. It says, score this in an end phase if two or more surviving friendly fighters are inspired, or each surviving friendly fighter has two or more upgrades. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting one because it kind of... So this is a kind of a good card, right? In a way, because you can maybe spend the glory via gambits or, you know, get a kill and then shave it off. And that can be cool because you kind of do... You know, we kind of talked about it already where... I think Velos Inspired would be cool, and you think Ennius would be cool Inspired, and then we're not sure on how Gorath or Duval would do. Well, you know, if the opportunity arises to where you need one of them to inspire, you can. I do think that the second condition is probably the better condition later in the game, because you're going to lose fighters, you're going to gain glory. So like maybe, you know, in the second round you have three fighters or two fighters even. If it's a bloody game, and the third round, two or less fighters, stick two upgrades on them. That's two glory. I think that's really great. I think it's more powerful than loaded with plunder in the third round on one fighter. But over the course of the game, again, I do like the option via the hybrid, but I really just think you just score this later when you have enough glory. And your fighters are all good, so you probably want to spread the upgrade love around as well.
Yeah, I think this one is very powerful. I think that I am a little bit more friendly towards their inspire conditions. I think the bloodthirst stuff is nice, but it takes time to get It takes time and it takes cards to get bloodthirsted. It's going to take usually more cards to bloodthirst than it will to inspire, because you can inspire for free on a kill, or you can inspire by spending your one and only hunger counter. And maybe there's cards that could get you two more, you know, for one card. But I think it could be efficient to inspire in some situations. And if you have this in your first hand, then you probably just go for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
If they didn't have the bloodthirst, their inspired sides are very solid as far as like a warband goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is, so definitely if this is in your opening hand, then yeah, inspire two fighters. And then my whole thing is like, these guys have a lot of access to hunger.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of, you know, effects and gambits and upgrades have come out that like stack hunger. So if you're going to use such powerful gambits, you might as well just tap into the bloodthirst side. So like, yeah, I can definitely see you going, okay, cool, I'll just inspire two fighters at the beginning of the round or the game, and then I'll go ahead and bloodthirst them later, or keep them inspired, right? Depending on what you need to be done. The fact is that these fighters have a lot of nuance and yeah, options, which I'm really a big fan of.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously you're not going to be able to bloodthirst them all in the first round anyway, too. Like you're going to have to probably pick one or two and then go that way. So it's cool. It's a neat card. And I like that it sort of pushes you towards the inspire when maybe, most people would prefer bloodthirst. So
yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
I love the pose too. It looks like a very cool album cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
The card art on these cards is phenomenal. And we're only like, what, like five in?
Yeah. Very cool. The next one is On the Chase. It's a hybrid. Score this in an end phase if each surviving friendly fighter has one or more hunger counters, or one or more surviving friendly fighters has a move characteristic of six or more. This is a pretty good one. It's pretty easy anyway. Only one glory, but...
Yeah, it's just pretty much don't react with the hunger to spend it. Or Bloodthirst Ennius, or play Outrun Death or Savage Speed, and you're good to go.
Yeah. So I think really the only thing going against this card is that it's one glory, and maybe in this meta you don't need any one glory cards. So I guess we'll see.
That could be the case.
The next one is Preternatural Speed Surge for one glory. Score this after an activation if each surviving friendly fighter is in enemy territory. What do you think about that?
Love it.
Yeah?
I mean, it's good. I think you can play these guys really aggressively, so if that's what you want to do, mm-hmm, then you're going to charge four times. This is pretty much like, these guys are better Magors. Yeah. So you're going to charge four times, you're going to end up in enemy territory, you're probably going to score show of force along the way, and they're all hunters, so there's a lot of end phase synergy with being in enemy territory and being a hunter. So, mm-hmm, I mean, I just feel like it's a natural fit to, it's like, cool, charge four times, you know, and I got a surge, didn't even have to kill anything if I couldn't.
Yeah. And as long as you've committed to that aggressive play style where you are going to be in their territory, it gets easier to score as the game goes on, as you lose fighters, or as your fighters get into position. So, I think it's a solid card for sure. I think the only reason you wouldn't take it is if you were playing a more defensive, strategy. So, let's see. The next one is Recovered Poise. Score this in an end phase if one or more friendly fighters are inspired for one glory. This one's also pretty easy.
Yeah, I love the card art here where it's like you can tell Gorath definitely just like ripped through some bones. He's like wiping his face, and the card art is like, now where were we? You know, like yeah, very, exactly, very vampire-esque. And yeah, it's super easy to do if you're able to get a kill. I do take your point where maybe it's not enough glory.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only thing wrong with it. And I think, you know, right now, I'm sure this is something we can talk about once we're done reviewing all these cards, but there's a lot of two glory cards in the game right now, so I just don't know if you need these.
Yeah.
Go to the next one. It is Red Ruin. Score this in an end phase if three or more enemy fighters are out of action for two glory.
Love it.
What do you think about that? Okay.
So Wild Hunt have a similar card. It's called Slay the Corrupted.
Yeah.
It's the exact same text and glory performance. The thing is like Wild Hunt kind of really only have like three fighters that can, you know, kill stuff in the first round.
Yeah.
Because Althane has a bow. While these guys, like, you could effectively charge, like, you know, maybe Grimwatch or Harrows, and you could do some pretty serious damage. I don't think you're going to be scoring this in the first round. I mean, unless, you know, you get some great dice rolls, which you can against larger warbands, but
sometimes you get some really good dice rolls with Wild Hunt.
I mean, sometimes you get really good dice rolls with whatever, right? So I think the important thing is, like, if you want to really tilt into kill everything, bloodthirst, aggro, then, like, you can. And this is cool. Now, you're right that there might be some universal cards, like, and we'll get into, like, ones called Dominant Display. There's other ones like Clean Kills and Bold Deeds, like, those can all synergize there. Those can sometimes be easier to score. So maybe this might be too hard of a card to score, as surprising as that sounds.
Yeah, I think it just depends what else you take. I'm a big fan of these cards. I like it in Wild Hunt. I like these are basically the same in my mind as the cards that want you to kill more than half of a warband. Those can be a little, they're a meta call in a similar way. They're a little bit better in some situations and a little bit worse in others, but they tend to be pretty reliable. If you hold on to it into the second and third round, you should score it in most games. So I think you're right, though. Basically, it's just going to depend what the other options are. I would say I would like for rating this card, I'd probably give it a B, and it's just going to depend on if you have more better Bs, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually almost going to give it a C because like you play a Merrimatch, it's going to be hard to score. You play into Crushes, it's going to be hard to score. You play this into Ravagers, Magors, it's going to be hard to score. So I only think this is a good card is if the meta shifts towards objective play, and it's not happening right now. So So while I do love the concept of it, I will amend my initial statement in that there are the other options are probably better.
Yeah, and I guess the interesting thing is if we're thinking that this is a meta of four fighter warbands, which, you know, most of them seem to be four, it can be kind of difficult. So I guess if that's the case, then you'd rather take the other one, the three glory blood curse, for only having one fighter left.
So yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Excuse me. The next one is Spirited Attempt. One glory, surge, score this immediately after an enemy fighter's attack action that deals damage to a friendly fighter if that friendly fighter is not out of action. Wow. That's very good.
It's great against Crushes and Molog.
Well, no,
sorry.
It's your
fighter. I misread. Yeah. I don't know why I misread that. Yes. I mean, it's pretty solid. You know, like a lot, it's very hard to get four-shotted or one-shotted with four wounds. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really good. Maybe, you know, there might be a meta where like people maybe don't try to attack you to avoid this card, but I still don't think it's ever worth an opponent to not try to kill you. So, I mean,
I don't think you have a choice a lot of the time, you know?
Yeah. So this might be just like easy glory if it's in your hand. But if you haven't scored it and then it's late in the game, then your opponent might know you have it. Then they might just be like, you know what? It's better not to attack and kind of run in the corner or something. Right.
Yeah, but it's kind of like martyred for me. Like, that's sort of what it seems like. You might get hit, and then obviously you can't die, but it has that same kind of effect where you get glory for the other opponent, the opponent doing something to you.
Yeah, I think it's more akin to Steadfast Defender.
Yeah, that's a good example too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So those cards can be really good in a lot of situations, but sometimes they just clog up your hand. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and in this, I would say in the current meta right now, probably once the second and third round gets going, there's mostly one-shotting, I would say.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, and this is definitely an early game card, but I think it's so good in that first round that I'm at least going to try it out. So
for sure. Yeah.
Let's see. The next one is Superlative Skill. Surge Hybrid. Score this immediately after a friendly fighter's attack action. An attack action that takes the target out of action if the attack roll contains only successes or that friendly fighter has no wound counters and no hunger counters. That's interesting.
What do you
think about that?
So this one's interesting. I feel like it's a form of steady aim.
Yeah.
Where, like, roll successes, but you also have to kill an enemy fighter. So that can be interesting. I feel like it happens pretty fair amount. There is friendly fighter, no wound counters, no hunger counters. That's probably the more trickier of the bunch. And I think anyone who's played with Steady Aim, I've played a lot of Profiteers, I'm sure you have as well. That can just break your hand sometimes.
Yeah, that one doesn't even require the kill.
Yeah, so I don't know. This one might be too hard for me, I think, actually. Too hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that if, like, in a faction-only deck, I think you will score it at some point. But I think in the competitive meta, it probably doesn't make a cut. The next one, and the last of the objectives, is Worthy Opponents. Score this in an end phase if one or more opponents has the same number of glory as you or more glory as you. For one glory. So, that's okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like a catch-up mechanic. I like the theme behind the card, like they're vampires and they're playing with their food. So it's kind of like, oh, wow, they're putting up a more of a fight than we thought they would.
Respect. Yeah.
Kind of. But, at the, you know, it's not too glory. That's yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's just a little bit too situational. There are better versions of this, too, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's a pretty solid selection there.
I mean, some pretty good cards. A lot of one glory cards, I'm noticing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's average or not, but do you have a favorite?
17 total. So that's
That's not bad.
Not too bad. The three glory one helps a lot, obviously.
Yes. Do you have a favorite? Yeah.
Maybe the one I'm the most interested right now is in Grave Lords. I want to see if that ends up being worth inspiring two of your fighters. So I'll pick that one.
Grave Lords is really cool. I think from a scoring perspective, I think On the Chase is pretty easy. That's a good one. I also really like Preternatural Speed.
Yeah.
I think Grave Lords is the best one, though, but I'm going to go with one of those two since you picked that one.
Oh, okay. I also like Spirited Attempt a lot. That would be my second one. Those are probably my two favorites. Okay, well, let's go into the gambits then. Yep. You want to take these?
Yeah, absolutely. We always alternate. Cool. So first card is Dark Hunger.
Mm.
Actually, let's start with Bestial Transformation, right? Let's go in a alphabetical order here. So,
okay.
Yeah,
let's I'm just looking at the picture. So.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to go like from right to left and then left to right because Bestial Transformation is higher. So Bestial Transformation, choose one friendly fighter. Discard that fighter's upgrades. That fighter's range one attack actions have cleave and ensnare. And each enemy fighter is a quarry. This effect persists until that fighter is given an upgrade or until that fighter is taken out of action.
Yeah. So this is pretty cool. It's not really a ploy. It's more of an upgrade. But it is a ploy.
Well, kind of. I think this is great in the first round when you don't have glory to spend.
Yeah.
You charge in and it's very hard for your opponent to block it.
Yeah. I also think that it's pretty good. I just think it's pretty good in general. I mean, cleave and ensnare is great. It's great in the first round. Yes, you want to put upgrades on people, but you don't want to. You may not want to put them on everybody. So, if you get, like, let's say you have some hunger cards and you have this card, if you're able to make the lady, I forget what her name is,
Velas.
If you're able to get her with the scything, and then you give her this. Like, that's terrifying. And that is, it would just be fine never to give her an upgrade the rest of the game.
Yeah.
If that was what she was doing, you know?
She's just flinging around, just killing everything. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. But if you need to give her an upgrade, then you do, and then it goes away. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Very cool. I'm not sure if it'll make the cut, but it might. It's probably better than Victimize or like a plus one dice.
It doesn't make your attack easier to hit. It makes it more easier to succeed, right? So hitting,
it's much harder to defend. Yeah,
correct. So if you're trying to land an attack, generally I think I'd go with more dice because the more dice you roll, the more propensity you have to roll crits. I do think you're right that the Veles combo sounds fun, but generally I'm taking accuracy because I'm not rolling enough dice to even hit in the first place.
Well, I mean, math-wise, I think the defense dice are the reason for an attack's failure almost as often as the attack dice. So I guess I'd have to do the math on it and see what tends to be better, having cleave and ensnare, because basically they can only roll crits against you.
Right, but if you're not rolling, like if your attack is two smash and you don't roll two smash, then it doesn't matter. Is my mentality.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maybe go to the next one.
Yep, blood vial. Choose one friendly fighter, remove up to two of the chosen fighter's hunger counters, and heal the chosen fighter one. What do you think?
I think really the only reason to take this card is if you want to inspire someone.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
And I would say I don't think that's probably worth it.
Well, it depends, right? Because there are some great cards that we were talking about that score for, you know, having like Gravelords, for example, and two inspired fighters. So maybe you get a kill, you play Blood Vial.
It could be a nice backup for that reason. Yeah. And you know, I think we probably would say we would never take a card just to heal one. But there are situations when you would be okay healing one if you just had it in your hand. So.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct in that. I don't even care if this heals. Yeah. This helps me, you know, take my fighter to a different state, or rather helps me score glory. So,
yeah, I think if you have the synergy built into the deck, then it's worth considering. Yeah.
Next card is Dark Glamour, Gambit Spell Channel. If cast, choose one enemy fighter within three hexes of the caster and give the chosen fighter one move token.
Ooh. I think it's pretty good. I mean, they are level one, so that's a thing. But when it works, oh boy.
Yeah, it's oh boy indeed.
And you can charge first and then use this on somebody that's like pretty far away. So
yeah,
it's pretty nice in that regard.
It's a very good card. I mean, 60% chance to zone a fighter out of the game. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, and you've got two people to do it. So the range limitation can be played around with, because you could have each wizard on each side of the board. And then, you know, if the bigger threat arises on either side, then you can kind of play accordingly.
Yeah, and the nice thing about having the two wizards is if you lose one, the other one can still try to do it. So
exactly,
they really get around a lot of the weaknesses of only having one level one.
Yeah, or even a level two.
Yeah, I don't know if I think two level ones is better than having one level two, but it seems like it's similar in different ways. So interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I almost think that having more wizards is better than having one strong wizard. Because the reason why Cursebreakers have been so well is because there's always two backups.
Yeah.
Now you have one, because if you kill Miari or Vortimus or Ilthari, there goes all your magic. But in this case, you kill Gorath or Duval, you've got the other one, hopefully.
Exactly, yeah.
Speaking of magic, we've got another magic card called Dark Hunger. It's a Gambit spell that hits on focus. If cast, choose one fighter within four hexes of the caster and give the chosen fighter two hunger counters. In addition, if cast, you can remove one hunger counter from the caster. So this is kind of cool, because Duval and Gorath both get spells when they're inspired.
Mm-hmm.
So this can kind of help heap that hunger counter total down. I'm not sure how I feel about the actual effect, though, given the fact that it requires us, you know, you have two level ones, as you've mentioned, but it requires a focus.
Yeah, so basically it's a 50% chance to bloodthirst one fighter. And then guarantee the inspiration of the other one, of the one that cast. So in some situations, I think that could be pretty good. I think basically this is going to compete against the other cards that give more than one hunger token. Or hunger counter, rather. Because like we were talking about before with Veles, if you cast this and it goes off, you give two hunger to Veles, she bloodthirsts. Then she has scything. That's very powerful. And then maybe your leader will inspire at the end of the round. But it's also optional, so you don't have to remove that hunger counter. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, 50-50 on one die just kind of hurts me. I think.
Well, and it, but it, you know, it may not have to be one die depending on what else you have in your deck. So.
Right. Yeah, we alluded to that card as well. So yeah, it could be good, but I mean, but at that point, it's later in the game, where you might want to do this earlier too. So maybe risk reward, something like that.
I think it just depends how much you want that Bloodthirst potential. So.
Agreed. But then again, there could be universal ways to achieve the same effect. So,
yeah.
We've got next card, Deathly Apotheosis. Choose one friendly fighter. While that fighter has Bloodthirst, give that fighter one hunger counter at the end of the action phase, and heal one that fighter each time that fighter is given one or more hunger counters. While that fighter is inspired, you can reroll one dice in that fighter's attack rolls. This effect persists until that fighter is taken out of action. So this is pretty much an upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, this is another persisting ploy that sort of functions as an upgrade. The I would say that the inspired effect, rerolling one dice in an attack roll, is pretty solid. The healing effect is also really good if you have ways to give hunger.
Well, you automatically will get one at the end and at the beginning of every round because of the hunger and of Deathly Apotheosis. So in theory, you could be healing twice a round outside of gambits and other ways in which you can gain more hunger. So I don't know,
man. Notably, these last the whole game.
Correct. Until, like, yeah, you can use, like, what's it called? That sword that can, like, make an attack action and then, you know, you can remove a ploy, but no one's going to take that. Maybe Skaven, maybe Gitz. I mean, yeah, if these guys become really good, and if this card is really good, it might be, you know, an option, but I think this is insane.
I think it definitely can be. Again, it's going to depend on what other hunger cards you have in your deck, because, I mean, you can play this in the last power step and then heal two, and then you're, you know, you've been healed two over the at the end of the round and then the beginning of the round. But if you play this in the middle of the round, you're going to then have to spend cards to heal back up as well. And then I guess the question maybe becomes, is this better than just taking like Ferocious Resistance or another one of the hunger healing cards to just heal right away rather than having to play this card and then play another card to heal? But in general, it's probably worth trying out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
just the reroll itself, if you have an inspired guy, is not going to go to waste. So,
yeah, absolutely. At worst case scenario, it's an awakened weapon on an inspired fighter, on the bloodthirsty fighter. You know, and if you're playing Bloodthirst, you're probably going to play more aggro, potentially. So, you know, you can heal a lot and take damage and dish it out even more. So, I'm actually a lot more high on this card than you are, especially because I think... well, I guess Ferocious Resistance is really good on this warband just because of the hunger stuff, but still.
Yeah, and I think we'll go over... I think there's another hunger card that heals, like, two if you have a hunger token. So... I think it's just going to depend on the situation. This is really nice, like stalling into a round. And it's really, really nice if you have other ways to give hunger to your fighters. So, but I like it. I mean, I don't, I'm not saying it's bad. So I just think that I think it's going to be hard to pick 10 ploys for this warband. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. See. Definitely. We're not even halfway through. That was actually halfway through. Next card, Driven to Hunt, pick one and give one hunger counter to each friendly fighter within 2 hexes of your leader, or push the other friendly fighter within 2 hexes of your leader up to 1 hex. What do you think?
Yeah. So I think that if you're trying to just Bloodthirst everybody, this is a great way to give hunger counters to people. The push is less useful, but still useful. So I think this is worth considering.
Yeah, as long as Prince Duval is alive, you get a sidestep, positionally, of course, or, you know, it's kind of like Wa Energy. You know, just start stacking that hunger so you can get closer to doing what you want to do.
Yeah, I'd say it's a bit of an early game card, or if you do try to use it later game, you need to, like, be aware of where your positioning is. But I think it's decent enough.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Next card, Quicksilver Advance. Choose one friendly fighter, then pick one. The chosen fighter makes one move action, or you remove one of that fighter's charge tokens and give that fighter one move token.
I like this one a lot. This is really cool.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, particularly on the second guy. What's his name? Gorath? Yeah, Gorath.
Gorath.
Particularly on Gorath, because he's got that range. So you charge in with him, and then you just start swatting people if you need to. That's really cool. The just making a move action in general is strong too. So I like the flexibility there.
Yeah, this is really cool because this reminds me a lot of Second Wind. It essentially is Second Wind on the second condition. So you can like make a crazy charge. It's one of those cards where like you can kind of take that game defining charge, and then if it misses, this could be your second shot and your next activation.
Or it can be a retreat. You can charge in and then move back out.
Correct. Yes. Or it could be a retreat. So very, very cool card. Lots of flexibility. I think whether you're playing passively or aggressively, this could be really good. You know, like maybe you're trying to hold objectives so you can score, you know, holding everything in your territory, and then someone knocks you off. Boom, move your fighter.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Functions is an amazingly powerful sidestep. the best one in the game. So,
well, I don't know. There's one for the Slaanesh that do really well. Dark Desires, yeah. I think, is really good, but this could be this is up there.
This is a 4x move. So
that's true. Yeah. It's a very powerful,
pretty incredible.
Yep. Mighty Strike. We've seen a lot of these in the past. +1 damage to the first attack action made by a friendly fighter in the next activation. What do you think?
Yeah. These are okay. The more accuracy you have in the, you know, in the situation, the better. I just don't know if these are worth a slot in a meta with so much damage in upgrades. So I think you just take 4 or 5 damage upgrades, and then if you take other things in your ploy. So, but you know, solid card for a faction deck. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to do stretch examples here. Like maybe you've got Deathly Apotheosis on a, you know, inspired fighter, then maybe you're more likely to hit. So you throw this on there, you're more likely to do that damage. So I can see why you could be attracted to this, but ultimately, if you're a fan of this podcast, you're going to know that we just don't like cards like these. We will always take the damage and the upgrades, and we'll always take the accuracy instead. So,
yeah, I think that's correct.
Last two cards here. Next one is Startling Competence. Reaction: play this after an enemy's attack action that deals damage to a friendly fighter. Pick one. Remove one of that friendly fighter's hunger counters, or draw one power card, or push that friendly fighter 1 hex.
Kind of just do whatever you want there.
Yes. Yes.
I think this one is okay. You do have to get hit, and then I guess you don't have to survive. Enemy fighter's attack action that deals damage to a friendly fighter. Yeah.
So it'd be in the deal damage step, not check if the enemy fighter's out of, fighter's out of action step. So.
Yeah. You know, so either way, I guess you could draw the card if you wanted to.
Yes.
If they did die, but.
I kind of like the theory behind it, because like.
And actually, I think if you have. Oh, no, maybe that's another one. Yeah, I think it's okay. I mean, the push is okay. Like, you can maybe move closer to somebody. I think you're right that it's before the drive back step. Oh, no, it's actually after the entire attack action. Play this after an enemy fighter's attack
action. Attack action, yeah.
Yeah, so it's after the entire attack action. So it would be
your fighter would have to survive. Right. Well, no, it doesn't. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
If it doesn't survive, you can draw the card.
Exactly.
If it does survive, you can take
that's where I'm getting tripped up.
Hunger counter off. I don't think you'd usually want to do that, but maybe you'd want to try to set somebody up for inspiring. I think the push could be situationally useful, but in general, I'm not crazy about it.
Yeah, sound really enthused about this one, but I really think I think the idea behind this card is kind of cool. You're kind of like bloodthirsting around, wilding out your opponent that you consider prey is like all of a sudden showing more competence than you gave them credit for. So maybe you want to get serious. So maybe Duval's in enemy territory. He's swinging around, you know, over 3 damage. He starts maybe taking some wounds, and you're like, you know what? Maybe I can inspire him, prop him up to 2 block instead. He's a little bit more survivable, and you know, I can move forward from there. Ultimately, will this enter my power deck? I'm not really sure. Probably not. Actually, I think probably not, but I mean, I think the idea is cool. The fact that all these cards revolve around, you know, going in and out of a bloodthirst state is pretty neat to me, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Last card here, Tenebrous Form. Choose one friendly fighter. That fighter's defense characteristic is 3 dodge. That fighter cannot make actions or reactions, cannot cast spells, cannot be on guard, cannot hold objectives, and cannot be driven back. This effect persists until the end of the phase or until the fighter is taken out of action. Pretty much a oh crap button to try to save somebody. yeah. who might almost die.
Yeah, that's interesting. They can't be driven back, I think, is actually a buff in that situation.
Yeah, it is.
I guess you can't hold the objectives, though. So that's interesting. I don't really know if I end up taking this one, but it does make one fighter really annoying to kill. So
you I think just
charge
be cool.
and then blow it, and it's fine.
Yeah, you charge, blow it, and then maybe you avoid retaliation, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, situationally, it could be pretty good.
We've all missed attacks on Autopod a lot recently, so we're talking from experience. Plus, like, Molog or Curse Breaker on 3 dodge with Substance Siphon can be quite annoying as well, so.
Yeah.
Is good. Do you have a favorite Gambit?
I guess it would probably have to be Quicksilver Advance.
That's a good one. I like Dark Glamour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of slapping remove tokens on people, so I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
So that or Deathly Apotheosis is pretty neat.
Yeah, true.
All right. Upgrades, you're up.
All right. The first upgrade is Blood Chalice. It is restricted to wizards, and it says when you give this to a fighter, remove that fighter's hunger counters, and they gain +1 wizard level, and a special rule that says this fighter cannot have hunger counters. So basically, you give it to one of the wizards, and they will inspire, and they're level 2. Pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty neat. I kind of like this as like a way to just like pseudo-inspire. It's pretty much like inspire my fighter at the end of the round as well. So that's kind of cool because if you have like, you know, cards that we've mentioned earlier that score off inspired fighters, this can be a cool way to do it. And I think it's kind of cool with probably Duval's reaction because it's a reaction. You don't necessarily want to be spending actions to do Gorath's spell.
Yeah.
So I kind of like this. This opens up magic a little bit more to you. So maybe Dark Glamour goes off more often than not, things like that. So maybe you can do like a Hunting Bolt as well if you wanted to. So
yeah, I think it opens up the magic quite a bit. I think if you're going to do Lost Pages, I think Duval is kind of the best person for that because of the second defense dice.
Sure.
And then if you give him this, then he's really set up to do that. He can have a Yara's Instant Shield. So I think there's a place for that. And then if you're going to do that, I feel like you probably want to go for inspiring. So then you're going to take some of the inspiring objectives. And I think you can kind of see how a like magic and inspire build would come together.
I just don't think you run Lost Pages with these guys because they have so many good upgrades. You can't fit them all. And then you need all that damage as well. But certainly I know there's someone out there. In the United Kingdom, who's plotting right now.
So. I think that if your plan is to make a defensive build with a lot of hunger gambits, then I think the pages sound good. But yeah, I think you're right that it's going to depend on the build.
Yeah. Okay, you want to go to the next one?
Yeah, the next one is Deathly Majesty. It is restricted to Duval, -1 dice from adjacent fighters' attack actions that target this fighter to a minimum of 1. Importantly, this is not range 1. This is just -1 dice. So that's really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We've seen how powerful this is in like Lady Heroes, who can like stack this on one of their fighters, and they kind of do it to good effect. So, you know, you kind of dive Duval in, slap this upgrade on him, comes a lot harder to hit. If he's inspired, he becomes a lot harder to make a successful attack action because not only do you have less dice, but he has more defense as well. So I think it's a really good card for an aggro player who is wanting Duval to play a big role in their game.
Yeah, I think it works pretty good defensively too if you're going to try to do like a stacking situation. So
correct. Yeah, I mean, just, again, like you mentioned, Lost Pages could be good there.
Yeah, I think just in like it's one of the rare fighter restricted cards that I think I like, but it's very powerful. The next one is Enforcer's Cloak, restricted to Gorath. It is a reaction. After an attack action that targets this fighter, place this fighter in an empty hex adjacent to the attacker. Then discard this card. So you teleport. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, so this can be cool if it just like the art shows ranged attack. So like maybe like you've got a a Thundric, or maybe from the new Storm of Celestis warband, you've got like a Celestis shooting at you, or like a Skink who's trying to like be cheeky, or even Kiki Taka who's trying to hit you with a range attack. You do telegraph this a lot because the upgrade is on your fighter, and so for that reason, it's probably a deterrent. I don't know. Like, it's a really cool effect. It's really, really cool. I don't see it going in the deck just because you highly telegraph this play to the point where you're like, it's up to your opponent to trigger it at that point. Now, if you're putting this on a Gorath in enemy territory and you're smacking around, this could be a really cool way to reposition your fighter.
Could be fun in Arena Mortis too.
Well, yeah, but we don't talk about that here.
Okay.
If you know that an attack is coming from a certain fighter, then maybe you can slap this on, teleport behind them or quote unquote behind them, which is next to them, and then maybe like opens you up to swing against someone else, or maybe jump onto an objective or things like that. So there's a lot of like high level plays here, but I think you're gonna have to take time to unpack that, and it's gonna be pretty situational.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we'll go to the next one here. It is Gutten for Glore. When this fighter is given one or more hunger counters, instead give this fighter that many plus one additional hunger counter. When one or more of this fighter's hunger counters are removed, instead remove that many plus one additional hunger counter. How do you think about that?
So I wouldn't take this if you're trying to inspire, unless you're taking Gambit support, because at the beginning of the round, you'll just gain two hunger.
Yeah.
So this is really if you're trying to bloodthirst quickly, and this is only really good if you get it out early. Ultimately, I don't think this fits into your deck because it really doesn't do much. And I think the hunger effect, not only is it constant throughout the game, but it can be better via gambits and other upgrades. And so for this reason, I think we just pass on this personally, or I would at least.
Yeah, I agree. The next one is Mirror Duelist. It is restricted to Velas. This fighter is considered to have one additional supporting fighter. It's not a terrible effect.
Well, this can be really good, right? Because if you get that reroll with her, then she's a fairly accurate fighter. And then if you have Scything with the Bloodthirst, again, she's a fairly accurate fighter, because then your supports will count. And, they're not just getting the sole benefit from, their supports as well, because you're probably attacking at least two fighters. So it's fighter restricted. And as you mentioned earlier, we're not really big fans of fighter restricted cards. But I could see this one having play.
Yeah, I think it just also competes with other accuracy upgrades.
Yes.
Because it's not really that much better than any other ones. So I think it just depends on, what your restricted slots are doing and stuff like that. So
yeah, like a Savage Visage is just better.
Yeah, yeah. Strength of Terror, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. good point.
The next one is Ripping Claws, restricted to Aeneas. Reaction, after this fighter's successful Savage Assault attack action, deal one damage to the target.
Yeah, so, Aeneas has like a plus one damage. Cool. Give him great strength. And then if he dies, you can give it to someone else. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit too restrictive there, I think. The next one is Undying Evil. It's a reaction upgrade. During an attack action that targets this fighter before the deal damage step, if this fighter would be taken out of action by that attack, roll one defense dice. On a roll of block, the combat sequence ends. After this reaction, discard this card. So a, 33% chance to not die?
Yeah, what is that card from Season 1? It was like Soul...
Yeah, Soul Trap.
Soul Trap. Yeah. I mean, on a roll of a... 33% chance to not die. I mean, as you mentioned, really good for Lost Pages. It can save your game plan 33% of the time. So, not a bad card. Not a good one either, I think, unless you have a specific game plan in mind.
Yeah.
Apologize if you can hear my werewolves in the background. But it's okay. Getting dark out here, and so the vamps are exciting them.
Yeah, they are. The next one is Vampiric Might. Plus one damage to this fighter's range 1 and range 2 attack actions if this fighter is inspired. Plus 2 damage to this fighter's range 1 and range 2 attack actions on a critical hit if this fighter has Bloodthirst. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Very, very cool. So if you are, yeah, I mean, I really like the built-in, what's the card called?
Concealed weapon.
Concealed weapon, yeah. That's really nice. It's really good on Anias. It's really good on Prince Duval with three smash.
Yeah, just a bit of a late game card, because you have to either be inspired or have the Bloodthirst.
But most upgrades are going on, you know, end of the first round anyways, right?
Yeah. So I think it has a good balance to it because the two damage is very powerful. And you're going to want to soup up a guy anyway, probably.
Yeah. So. If you Voltron a Hunger Fighter, this is good. But I also think this is a great additional plus one strength if you're going to play Inspired. And the only reason I would take this over a Universal card is because you have the option to tap into that Bloodthirst if things don't go your way and you just happen to Bloodthirst a fighter.
Right. It'll just be annoying in the rare circumstance that you want to use it early and you don't have, you just aren't either one of those things. So Inspired or Bloodthirst. So pretty cool design there, I think. The next one is Vampiric Speed. It's plus one move or plus two move if you are Bloodthirsted or Inspired. So kind of similar, but pretty solid, I think.
Awesome card. looking at the fighter stats, the only one that goes to, the only two fighters that go to two defense, which is Anias and Duval. So Savage Speed could be a great option as well, but you know, maybe you don't need it. Because I mean, you're already four moves, so you go to five. But you know, I do think the game plan is to do one of the two, right, throughout the course of the game. So
I agree, and I think that it's nice to have the option. I think sometimes you'll want to take Spectral Wings and the Quarry one. I forget what it's called. But
Outrun Death,
yeah. But I think other times you'll just want to take one of those because you'll want something else in your ploy slots, and you'll want to take two plus two moves. So I think it's good for that. So
yeah.
The last one is Von Marussi Armor. It says if this fighter is inspired, reduce all damage dealt to this fighter by one to a minimum of one. If this fighter has Bloodthirst, if this fighter would be dealt precisely one damage, this fighter is not dealt that damage. So I like this for the inspired side. pretty good for Bloodthirst, I guess.
It's much better for the inspired side, absolutely. Yeah. I think the more and more we see these cards, the more and more like Lost Pages does seem like an option for them. Again, I don't know if you take it, but if you end up deciding to try it, this is obviously a great card because you want your Duval Inspired to be on that two block so he can reroll two block with that Yara's Instant Shield. Then you've got, you know, minus one dice from Deathly Majesty, and then you get minus one damage from Von Marussi Armor. That can be insane. Mm-hmm. Additionally, the Bloodthirst stuff, I mean, I think it's just nice to have. You know, you're probably going to be aggressive. There will probably be lethals, so you can avoid the lethals.
That you're immune to the lethals when you have the Bloodthirst. Because you'll just not take that damage.
That's exactly correct. Yes, that's what I was saying. But I think I ultimately wouldn't take this card if I'm going Bloodthirst.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, but the thing is, though, like, it's not like you have to pick one between Bloodthirst and Inspire. Like, I think there are going to be situations when, you know, you've gotten the most out of what you're going to get from the Bloodthirsted profile, probably because you just charged.
Right.
And you may as well just hope to Inspire and then, you know, have the next round with your inspired side. So I don't know. I think it'll see a lot of use either way. It is interesting that these last three have required one inspire or Bloodthirst. And I think that's pretty cool design for them.
I completely agree. I really do think Duval is the main one that's might be flipping back and forth.
Yeah.
Most likely, you know, getting hungry, killing the guy he needs to kill and then tanking up.
I agree.
And maybe Enyas could do the same once he scored you your speed package, if you will. So, I'm loving it. I think these are great. Do you have a favorite upgrade?
I think my favorite upgrade, probably Blood Chalice. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool one. I think I like Vampiric Might.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, it's cool.
And
there's going to be some crit damage.
Yeah, and I really like Deathly Majesty. You know, it's really funny. I'm like one of the first ones who thinks Lost Pages with a warband, but I didn't really think about it with these guys until now. But yeah. Even then, I think some lucky dice can just destroy Prince Duval. So,
yeah.
But maybe if you do the deserve confidence and some other stuff, maybe you can make it work. But how are you scoring the rest of your glory? I guess we'll find out. So yeah, cool. That kind of concludes it for the Crimson Court. I mean, I think a fantastic warband. I mean, what, like, some really cool miniatures, some really cool fighters, some cool mechanics, bloodthirsty and inspiring, and, you know, sating that hunger, some really cool cards. I mean, like, what do you think overall of this warband?
I think that they're a cool design. I think they're a little bit complicated, yes, compared to some of these other warbands. It's also interesting that you have so much choice. You can sort of like decide to inspire or decide not to inspire. And then because I think you're going to be doing most of the application of hunger, I don't think your opponent's going to be giving you that many hunger counters. You also get to decide if you want to uninspire and re-bloodthirst. So you have a lot of, choice over like what you want your fighters to be like. Which is, I would say, pretty unique. They seem pretty powerful to me. I don't think there aren't really that many cards that they have that really scream out to me as like being amazingly overpowered. I think maybe the Quicksilver Advance and Deathly Apotheosis are going to have some cool moments where they do a lot of damage they have a big impact. But I don't know. It's an interesting set. I think the biggest thing for me is just how flexible they are, because they can do magic and hunter stuff and aggro and hunger like no one else can, and they can probably be a control or an aggro or an aggro objective flex kind of warband. I don't think they can really do pure hold objectives. I don't think they really have the tools for it, and the bloodthirst not allowing guard is kind of bad for that play style, but I don't know. I think it's a pretty cool warband, and I'm excited to try him out.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's a very high skill cap warband. I think a lot of people will find success early by bloodthirsting and going ham, which is fine. You know, like, you have the stats of, like we mentioned earlier, Magors, where you can just steamroll a lower wounded opponent. I think that skill ceiling is going to come into play when you fight against warbands that you can't necessarily just steamroll if you roll well. And that comes down to Crushas. Even Harrows, I think, can be difficult given their dice. Grimwatch can, you know, have the Duke and they can score. You've got Molog. You've got Cursebreakers, Ravagers. I mean, you've, you know, four orcs around the corner. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff out there. And so I think being able to figure out when you want to bloodthirst and when you want to inspire might be really interesting. What I really find interesting is that they've got a bunch of hunger cards that can actually augment their game plan. So whether it's removing that hunger so you can inspire, or keep continually stacking that hunger to eventually try to score Blood Curse, I think can be really fascinating. So I'm a big fan of what we've seen thus far. I do think they're going to be a really popular warband. I think they're going to be aggressive. I think there's some control elements there as well, particularly with the Lost Pages and stacking a bunch of hunger. But again, like, I think a lot of people, I have to mention this again, is they're going to do well with the warband, but to really master it, it's going to take a lot of reps, a lot of interesting scenarios to find yourself in, and trying to figure out how to get out of them, and maybe like learning what you could have done better. So I'm a huge fan of this warband's design, the aesthetic, and I agree that the cards aren't as maybe overtly powerful as the Seraphon, right? The Starblood Stalkers. Yeah. But I think the way in which you apply these cards and the tactics is the game breaker here. And so I look forward to sinking my teeth into them and figuring out how to best move forward.
Do you want to talk about some of the universal hunger cards that we think?
I do. I think we should take a look at some of the hunger cards available in the current meta, and then maybe just, you know, grab a couple that we think looks cool. One of the ones that I like to play with a lot is Energy Drain. But now, you know, potentially if I'm not playing the vampires, then it might be a way to disincentivize me because I don't want to give them additional hunger. Or maybe I do because they're trying to inspire and maybe they're trying to score Gravelords instead, right? So I really like that counterplay. A really cool way is you can also play Energy Drain in your warband if you're playing this warband, because you can like put a move token on a fighter, and if you happen to be adjacent to them, you can gain a hunger counter as well. So that can be a really cool, that's a really cool one. What do you think? What's another card that you really like?
Well, one of the new ones that I guess we're going to review in the next one that I think is pretty important here is Bountiful Bait, which is one of the new gambits.
Yeah.
It says each fighter with one or more hunger counters is a quarry and is on guard, and this persists until the end of the round. So interestingly, it doesn't work if they've bloodthirsted already, but in just being able to put all your fighters on guard in the first round is pretty cool. So, and that's completely different for them than it is anybody else, because they just start with the hunger counters.
Yeah, Irresistible Hunger is another cool one. Choose one friendly fighter, give that fighter one hunger counter, then push one enemy fighter within 2 hexes of that fighter, 1 hex towards that fighter. Or if that friendly fighter has 2 or more hunger counters, push each enemy fighter within 2 hexes of that fighter up to 1 hex towards them. So you could like put this on Velos, jump in, maybe grab some opponents off objectives, ruin their positioning, maybe get a scything attack. some really cool stuff that you can do with that card that rewards you for having, you know, hunger.
Yeah. One of the other new ones is a taste for power. And it says give one hunger counter to each surviving fighter in the warband whose player has the primacy token. That's kind of nice if you really want everybody to get bloodthirsted all at once.
Yeah, yeah. You just kill a fighter. Boom. Everyone's on 2 hunger. Everyone's going to bloodthirst next round, start of the second round, potentially even faster. That's really cool. I think Hungry Advance is another good one. It's a staple. Give a hunger counter, sidestep. Pretty neat.
Yeah, there's another one that I thought was cool. It is Compelling Hunger. This came out in the Seraphon. Mm-hmm. Choose one fighter with 1 or more hunger counters, push that fighter 1 hex, and give that fighter 1 hunger counter. So that's like those two together are like basically you can take 3 sidesteps if you want.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good right now in the current meta. There's not a lot of pushes. So
yeah, especially if you're trying to avoid or engage with your opponent, I think it's really cool. Pitiable Death is a really funny one because essentially if you're going for Bloodthirst or you're not inspired yet, if someone kills one of your fighters, they just score Pitiable Death.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. So that's a cool one. Yeah. And then I think there's another one. No, that's something else. Yeah. Oh, you know, and we can't forget Hungering Harpoon.
No, I haven't forgotten that one.
Yeah, bring it up. Let's talk about it.
I think it's a very cool card. And I think this is
the warband. Like,
I think this is the warband that can play it. If you're playing like a hunger stacking thing, I don't think you are upset about having a range 3 fury, 2 damage attack. So I think it's something to keep in mind. I'm not sure if it makes the cut, but I'm going to probably give it a try at some point. I just think it's cool.
Another good one is Hungry. Cool. Yeah, it's really cool. Hungry Armor is insane with these guys. Because you can stick this on Duval. And then you gain an additional... Well, so this is really tough because you actually gain additional hunger counter. So I don't think you stick this on Duval. I think you just stick this on one of your fighters. You bloodthirst faster, and then you can just reroll your 1 defense die, which does make you a little bit more survivable. I think you're crit fishing at that point, but that can be a really cool card to function with them.
I agree. Another one I think is cool is Delicious Morsel.
Yes.
It's heal 1 to a fighter, but if you have any hunger tokens, it heals 2. And it removes 2 hunger tokens if you have 2, or it just does 1 if you only have 1.
Yeah.
So it might end up inspiring you, which is interesting. But I think this is one of those cards that if you are going to take the, was it Deathly Apotheosis? If you play Deathly Apotheosis and then play this, you'll heal 2 right away. And then in the next one, you'll heal even more. So like these two, I think those two together make you really, really hard to kill. And if you do end up inspiring yourself, then you'll get the reroll. So I don't know. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's really cool. There's another one called Keen Hunger. So you can spend a hunger counter to get a reroll on an attack. So if you've got a bunch of hunger, you're maybe not going for Blood Curse, spend a hunger counter, become more accurate. The another one is called Ravening Stone. At the end of each action phase, pick one, give one hunger counter to each fighter within two hexes, or remove one hunger counter from each fighter within two hexes. So yeah, you can stay inspired, or you can bloodthirst even faster.
Yeah, that's a cool one, because you give it to one fighter, and then it just... Is it... yeah, it's friendly fighters and enemy fighters.
Yeah.
So that's probably a really good one if you are going for the hunger stacking, try and get to 10 for your guys. You may consider that one. So it also just helps everybody get bloodthirsted if you're probably hiding in the back with a passive build or something. So
one card to watch out for is Starvation Snare. If you move, your opponent can give you 3 so they can bloodthirst you, or they can remove up to 3 so they can unbloodthirst you as well.
Yeah.
So that's a really interesting card. Maybe I love how the number is 3 as well, which lines up perfectly with this warband. Definitely planned.
Yeah, it's particularly kind of devastating if you are inspired or if you're already bloodthirsted and then you're charging, because it'll kick in before your attack action.
Yeah.
Because it's after a move action. So you go in for a scything attack and then you don't have the scything anymore.
Yeah, that can be really funny.
Yeah.
I think also Ferocious Lunge is a really cool one, because pretty much it's Spectral Wings if you have a hunger counter. So... Yeah. That can be your third. Outrun Death, Spectral Wings, and Ferocious Lunge can be a very, very fast team.
Yeah. If you want the speed, you can definitely have it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
I think there's a bunch on here. I think, you know, really... also, Hungry for Victory, score this in the end phase if one or more friendly fighters have 2 or more hunger counters. It's a joke.
so. Yeah. Growing Hunger is another one. You just have to have... each fighter with 1 hunger counter. So that'll happen automatically if you don't remove them. Or you need to have a surviving enemy fighter with 1 hunger counter. And if you are taking a bunch of hunger stuff and you're just kind of spraying them around, then you
get a hunger. You get a hunger. You get a hunger. Blood curse.
The other one that was cool was Hunger for Power, which is a hybrid for wizards. You need to have 1 wizard with 2 hunger counters, or have 2 upgrades on a wizard. So you should be able to do that pretty easily as well. It's only 1 glory, but kind of interesting.
Yeah, another one is Starvation's Grip. If this fighter has 1 or more hunger counters, this fighter cannot be pushed.
Yeah.
That's cool.
One of the new ones, I think, right?
Yeah, it's one of the newer ones. Cool. So we're going to do our universal review in another episode. We like to split them out now, but I think that's some good hunger stuff to get you started. And
it's kind of like they have an extra like 15 or so, 20 or so hunger cards, faction cards for them, because I don't think there's enough application really to have this be worth it yet.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can channeled hunger, score this in the end phase if one or more friendly wizards with 1 or more hunger counters is holding an objective. I mean, you know,
it's okay.
Easy. Gorath or Duval holding objective. So I like it. I'm a big fan. And I think I look forward to seeing what people do with this warband. As we mentioned, it's high skill, it's high reward, and the miniatures are beautiful. Yeah. And I look forward to seeing how everyone paints their guys up. When you paint them, are you going to stick with a red theme, or are you going to go for something different?
I don't know. I may go with a Twilight theme and get out the glitter. And
I'm going to slap you through this monitor.
Why? That's what vampires do.
If that's what you want... then I completely support you, but I know that's not what you want. So tell me what it is that you really want.
I think the official color scheme is really cool. I hope somebody paints them with glitter. I think that would be funny. But
yeah, I don't know. I think I might go with black
shiny
as the primary color, with white, red as a trim, just because everyone's going to be running around with red Prince Duvals. Either that, or I might go purple. Even the red's my favorite color. I like my warbands to look a little different. Just so that, you know, I like being a special snowflake.
You do a good job.
You know.
Are
you talking smack right now? You glitter man? Get out of here. For the end phase episode, I think we're waiting on our aspiring champions to provide us some feedback. I think if we can't get a consensus, we'll probably just do a deck build.
Yeah, I think we'll. I think we're going to do some deck builds probably after we are done with all the reviews and we've had some time to play with the new stuff. I think I definitely want to do a couple deck build end phases anyway. But if you do have any ideas, definitely let us know and we'll.
Yeah, I think what might be cool would be to talk about some of the other warbands that can utilize Hunger. And maybe we can do that in our Hunger article that we did plan on working on this week. So lots of cool stuff to talk about. And yeah, I mean, look forward. I mean, we're going to have a bunch of content on the other podcasts we mentioned. This is one of the four podcasts we're recording this week. We've got another one right after this that we're recording and then two more later this week and a bunch of articles. So we got to get cracking.
Yeah, we did have some Patreon questions for this episode, though, for the vampires.
Oh, we did. Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah, the first one is from Godsworn Gamer. Do you think that the complexity of deck building with the right amount of add and remove hunger cards and deciding which fighter to allow to thirst and which to inspire gives the vampires such a high skill ceiling that they will rarely see tournament play? What do you think about that?
Yeah, great question, Godsworn Gamer. So I do think there is a high skill ceiling, which figuring out when you want to thirst and when you want to inspire and when you want what you want to put in your deck and what you don't want in your deck. Do I think that they will rarely see tournament play? Hell no. First of all, they're going to swarm the meta. Like, they're going to be everywhere. Everyone's going to be playing these. Obviously, they're the new hotness on the block. But secondly, I think they're a really good warband. I think you're going to be tough first couple games, but I think once you figure it out, you're going to have a lot of fun and you're going to really enjoy that mini game within the game. So I think it's really going to test your ability as a player, but if you're able to go, you know, overcome that, then you might, you know, have a deathly apotheosis of your own.
Is that a good thing?
I mean, it looks like there's like a halo behind it, like it's light, so it doesn't look that bad, does it? Okay. On the card.
So I think that I think there is some complexity, like we sort of talked about, but I think they have a very good baseline. Like, I don't think this is a hard warband to play or to learn, like, the game with. Like, I think they do some pretty basic things. And then I think when it's time to make a decision, like, do I want to use my reaction to inspire this fighter? I think it should be sort of apparent whether or not that's the right thing to do. So I think after a few games, you'll start to like figure out what you normally want to do and when the situation, you know, wants you to do one thing or the other. But I mean, they are more complex than some warbands. So I just think a lot of the time there will be an obviously right choice. But I do think the deck building is going to be more complex, but not in a like not in a bad way, not in a way that makes them like hard to play or hard to win games with. Probably in a way that makes them easier to play and easier to make easier to make decks with.
I think this warband is like the exact way you would describe Warhammer Underworlds: easy to play, hard to master.
I think the skill ceiling is high. Like, I think that very good players will be able to get more out of this warband, but I don't think it's a hard warband for a new player to pick up.
Agreed. Next question is from Kyler. At first glance, do you think they break the hunger mechanic like Man Trappers did at first for Hunter? Jonathan?
Absolutely. 100%, yes. I mean, basically, they're the only person that can use Hunger right now. There's like one other person.
I think Cursebreakers can do it.
Yeah.
I think Cursebreakers can do it, given the new support from the Universals.
And if Cursebreakers can, maybe Nurgle can, just because they sound kind of similar.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be the same here. And I think Hrothgorn is a perfect example of, like, Hrothgorn to the Hunter of Quarry mechanic is going to be a lot like this. That said, we are only now past the halfway point, I think, of cards for this season, right? Because we have
this is the fourth warband. No, this is the fifth warband. Yeah, so we're just right past halfway.
Right. So, you know, for all we know, there's going to be just as many more hunger cards, and then because what we really need for hunger to work for everyone is basically the same thing we needed for the Hunter and Quarry effect, is we need the effect to be something that you take almost for free, like Savage Speed and Savage Strength. You would take those cards whether or not they made you a Hunter, but because they do and because they're good cards, then it's, you can make some cool combos, you know, you can do some Hunter stuff with people that you may not have been able to. It's going to be the same thing for this. Like, Hungry Advance is a good card by itself, and it happens to give you a hunger counter. So if we get a lot more like that, Like if there was a spectral wings that gave you a hunger counter, then you would take that. And then you can start to, you know, get some synergy there. But it's just a lot of work because of the way that the, like you apply the counters and then you benefit from having them. And the timing can be a little suboptimal. So
while I do agree in the same way that, you know, Hrothgorn kind of quote unquote broke the hunter mechanic, I think you get a lot more out of the hunter mechanic with Hrothgorn than you do maybe with hunger. Because making everyone a quarry is just ridiculous, but gaining hunger for free. And again, you mentioned this and we always talk about this is like free stuff is great in this game because it makes it more viable when you don't mind it doing something else as well. So being able to tap into that hunger is cool. But if you're trying to play an inspired version of the warband, then that benefit doesn't really help you.
Right.
Unless you're spending counters, which fine, that's fair. There's a certain like give and take there. But like Hrothgorn making everything a quarry is still significantly stronger and worse for the hunter quarry mechanic than it is for vampires to gain one free hunger counter every round.
I agree, and I think the reason for that is because the quality of the hunter quarry cards tends to be higher than the hunger cards are right now. I wouldn't say we really have any or many like A level hunter hunger cards, even for the vampires. Like, there's not like a ready for action for hunger. There's not
But if they ever did make a ready for action card, it'd be silly. Sure. And Strength of Terror is a restricted card, so. I don't know if we're necessarily comparing apples to apples here.
Well, what I mean is that Hunter's Talisman should probably be restricted. It's a amazing card, but it's really only amazing for like it's you know, Hrothgorn like blasts it out of the park. You know what I mean? Where like Victimize for Hrothgorn is a card that you would take if it was restricted. So far, I don't think we've seen cards of that level for the hunger mechanic. And if we did, then I think you could say that the vampires having the hunger built into them is a very, very big advantage for them. Right now they have a larger pool, but I don't know if that in itself really gives them that much of an advantage with this current card selection.
Right. If that makes sense. I agree with you. I don't think that's what I'm saying. I think that makes sense as to why Hrothgorn is more abusive with Hunter Quarry than perhaps the Crimson Court might be. Right. But I think that also the mechanics are just completely fundamentally different. Hunger is all about gaining and spending, while Hunter Quarry is about like rerolls and attacking and killing, right? So I think when there is a big ogre who's trying to kill everything and eat everything, and then he taps into a mechanic that's trying to help you kill and eat everything, then yeah, that makes sense. I think we can go back and forth on this a lot, and we might be just at semantics at this point. I think we're both saying the same thing. I think we're just going about it in two different ways. So next question from Compaq. I think the warband is cool, but do you think they're slightly too complex in design? There's a lot to track, and I think it'll be quite easy to miss things. Could slow down the games when your opponent is asking what your guys do now.
And the second question, kind of from Godsworn Gamer, I think was a direct follow-up to this. He says, how many hunger counters has he or she got will be the most used phrase in Underworlds. Whose responsibility is it to put and remove hunger counters from enemy fighters?
this is a good question. It's multi-layered. I think at first it always takes time. You know, if you're not familiar with, like, I think when Jonathan and I start playing games, even if it's a warband we haven't seen in a while, we're like, wait, how many wounds does this fighter have again? What's their attack action? Like, those are normal questions. I think what's going to happen is like, yeah, you're going to see a lot of people like saying, what does your fighter do now? But that always happens in the first game or two. But if you go to a tournament, it's not going to slow it down because the expectation is you know what your deck does. You know what your opponent's warband does. You've practiced and prepped for that. You should be fine. Now, if it's like a local store tournament, yeah, I'm sure there'll be, you know, some slower games there. But from a competitive standpoint, I don't really think it's going to be an issue, you know, whether it's an online tournament or anything like that. In terms of responsibility, it's your responsibility to remind your opponent to put hunger counters on there, which kind of might be it can be taxing over time, but it's the same way that they put wound counters on there.
Yeah, I mean, it's both players' responsibility to make sure the game is like proceeding along with the rules. I don't think it's going to be that hard to remember to put one hunger counter on your fighter at the beginning of a round. Like, that's just something that you're going to do. Other than that, I think it's actually going to be pretty intuitive. Mm-hmm. When you put enough tokens on or counters on a fighter to bloodthirst them, you're going to say, now Velis is bloodthirsted and she gains this. Like, I find the more that you like talk out everything that you do and the implication of it, like when I equip, you know, deserve confidence, I'll mention that it has now been activated, you know, and I think you just do that kind of thing. So I think it'll be a little bit of a learning curve, just like any new warband, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I think you just talk your way through it.
Absolutely. I do the same thing where it's like, yeah, now I have my third upgrade, so I get +1 wound. I can't be driven back, you know? So
yeah,
that's super helpful. And that's a really good game practice.
Yep. Next, just makes it easier for everybody. And then you, everything goes faster. So
100%.
The next question is from Compaq as well. It says, do you think it's better to inspire or to bloodthirst? My initial read is a bloodthirst because of the stat changes, upgrades, and the objectives, but I would like to know your thoughts on the pod. Talked about it a little, I guess. I think that you will bloodthirst some fighters and then you'll inspire others throughout the course of the game. Maybe a slight advantage to bloodthirst.
So I kind of agree. I think for me, you're going to bloodthirst early in the game. And then at that point, you're going to decide whether you want to stay bloodthirsted or you want to inspire. It's very, very easy to just tap into that bloodthirst and take advantage of some of the benefits, especially with Anias or a scything attack from Velus. I think the only one that might behoove you to inspire off the bat, depending on the level of survivability you want to give them, is Prince Duval. And I think he has a lot of cards that he can benefit from by being on the defensive.
Yeah, I also think that he benefits the least from the bloodthirst. I think the +1 damage can be nice, but I think losing the dice can be bad. I think it'll be kind of annoying if you miss on 2 dice when he could have had 3, you know?
Yeah, you can just give him a great strength instead or something, but
like I think if he was 2 damage, 2 smash and I got to choose whether I was gaining 1 damage or 1 dice, I think I would usually take the dice.
It depends, right? It's a scenario. Yeah, like do you not have great strength, or by the way, you do not take Feral Symbiote with this warband. But if you have like great strength or Sting of the Urgrup, because you don't want to give him Savage Strength if you want to keep him inspired, right? So the idea is like, do you have 1 or 2 cards, or maybe there's a third somewhere? No, then you might go for it, right?
I think you actually could take Feral Symbiote, because probably at most you're going to take 1 damage, but I don't think it's a big deal really.
The other thing is that except for
Gorath, you actually aren't that much harder to kill when you're bloodthirsted. You're not any harder to kill, except for Gorath. So I think what a lot of the time you'll want to do is get bloodthirsted and then go in for the kill. And then if you get the kill, you'll have a choice of whether or not you want to be inspired in the next round. And I think sometimes you'll want to make that choice. But I don't think that means you won't want to bloodthirst. You just may bloodthirst to set up to be more durable in the next round for a couple people, like the leader and Anias. So.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, right? It's like you bloodthirst early, and then you make that decision in the second and third round if you want to. So,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
If the Inspire was automatic, I think you would do it a lot more. But because it's at the end of the round, it doesn't really give you a benefit right away. But I don't think the bloodthirst gives you that much of a benefit either. So, I don't know. It's interesting. The next question is from Val. He asks, do you think I should call myself Prince Duval now? Maybe after winning something with them, he says.
That's really funny. Val, you can call yourself whatever you'd like. As long as we don't have to say your full name, I'm cool with it. So, because apparently we butcher it every time. I think Prince Duval is fine. I think Duval is fine. You don't have to be a prince. You can just be Duval. But yeah, do whatever you want, man. But yes, after you win, for sure. Actually, you know what? After you win, straight out of Shadespire with the Crimson Court, I will refer to you as Prince Duval. I can't even say it right. Prince Duval from this point onwards.
I think that's fair enough.
Cool. So,
all right.
Thanks again for submitting these questions. Really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Before Jonathan runs the outro again, just some quick reminders. We've got the semifinal of our Path to Glory Alliance League running this weekend, where the two of us and Still City will tag team and cover some games between Team Bay Tomato and the Amberbone Pillow Fighters. Yeah. Additionally, keep keep your eyes on for our patrons. If you're a patron, keep your eyes out for end phase episodes, which will drop next week. I think we've just got a lot of content we need to run through, but after that, we'll go ahead and give you the goodies. So thanks for being patrons and supporting us and appreciating us. The platforms we're using right now and the tools we're using are all because of your help. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that is going to be it for this episode. Once again, thank you to our patron supporters. If you'd like to join our current patrons, you can do so at patreon.com/pathtoglory. You can find all of our blog content on pathtoglorypodcast.com. If you have any feedback, questions, or comments, let us know on Facebook, Twitter, or Discord at Path to Glory Podcast. This was the first episode that we've recorded for YouTube, so you can also give us comments there and let us know what you think or what we should do in the future for that. Please rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen. And as always, thanks for listening, and we wish you the best of luck on your path to glory.
What do you get when you cross a snowman and a vampire?
What?
Frostbite.
Oh.
One more.
That's a bad. Okay.
Is it bad, though? I thought it was great.
It's a good one. I mean, they're all bad, but...
They're all bad. Sure, sure. Why didn't the vampire attack Taylor Swift?
Why?
Because she had bad blood. Should I just go away and go on my coffin break?
All right, we're done.